Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to see you all again. It's great to be back here. What a blessing that is. Amen? Wow. It's good to be back out anywhere, isn't it? We see people. It's wonderful. But then when you're out, you have these complexes because you go somewhere and you sneeze. It's, I don't have just allergies, really, you know. Here we are in Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't mind and can, would you please stand with me this morning to honor God's unchanging word. Aren't you glad for that? The world's going completely bananas, but God's word is immutable. It is unchanging, and we can trust it with our soul for eternity, and we can trust it with the problems of today.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm excited about a family conference. Family's a big deal to us, and I tell you what, if there's a unit in our society that's under attack, it's certainly the family. So I'm praying that this week, would you pray with me, that God would strengthen all of our families this week. And I don't want to necessarily borrow the cliche that's out there, but let's see the Lord just take it to the next level. Okay, I don't know how else to say it. So here we are in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father, we're before you today. We need you. We want you. Certainly, Lord, if there's anyone here and lost, we ask that they would get saved. And Lord, for the families here, that this week there'll be strengthening. Lord, there'll be a refreshing. If there's some forgiveness needed somewhere, that would happen. If there's some change that needs to be tweaked, and I pray that would happen. But at the end of the week, truly our desire is that our homes would represent you, and you would get the honor and the glory due your name, and that you might use us for your glory in this world in which we live today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we embark on this family conference, I encourage you to pray with me on three things. One, pray that the Lord turns this family conference into a revival before the week's over.
Amen.
Secondly, be here, and I appreciate your faithfulness this morning, but it's hard to get what the Lord wants if we're absent. And you may know someone else that maybe could use some help in the area of family. Invite him to come with you this week. If you can't get both him and her to come, at least get one of them to come. God can help put families back together.
Amen.
I know with the current situation going on, there's a lot of added stress to the family. Families that aren't used to spending a whole lot of time together and they're together, there could be a little friction going on. Maybe, okay? So this is a good time when we're just coming back to have this type of conference, this type of revival, amen? So let's get in and see what the Lord has. And this morning, I'm not negating the ladies any at all, but I believe where a lot of the responsibility and the guilt lies is with the men. So I want to talk to the men first this morning. There's a lot of different directions. I even thought about going, you know, an encouraging message today because of all that we've been through, but your pastor's good at all that. He asked for a family conference, and we're going to have a hard time squeezing it all in by Friday. So we're going to stay on course. So here we go, all right? So real men are biblical leaders. And every man is a leader. That's right. All men are leaders. God has created man, and he has assigned to him that position of leadership. Now, some are weak leaders. Some have abandoned their leadership. Some have abdicated their leadership to their wives. Some are bad leaders. Some are good leaders. But nonetheless, all men are leaders. God has assigned this position to him, and God will hold every man accountable on how he has executed his leadership. Amen. Whether he's a weenie or a tyrant, every man shall give an account of himself to God. I believe the acid test for a man's leadership is in his home. That's where it's going to show up. Does he have a heart for the home? I believe God has a heart for the home. I believe we should have our heart after the Lord's heart for the home. But folks, we have a very notable enemy. I don't want to give him any praise, but we have an enemy who's been against the home, and he's against your leadership. We know him as the devil. Okay? Satan's been doing everything he can to destroy the home ever since the garden. So he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your spouse. He doesn't care about your kids. In fact, he hates you. So he don't even care about your name. It's just a game for him. For every family he can take down, he wants to put that notch in his belt and flaunt it in God's face that he has someone else. In fact, over in Indiana, where we're from, he's been really busy, because in our state, there's a lot of things going on trying to undermine marriage by redefining it. A couple years back, they became so confused they didn't even know who they're supposed to marry. I mean, how hard is that, a man and a woman? Then they got so confused they didn't know which bathroom to use when they go to Target. I mean, we live in a messed up place, folks. And we need to go to an unchanging word of God for our compass and just stay the course. Amen. And I believe that the reason the devil hates it so bad, we find here in our text in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus Christ chose to use the home as a type or a symbol or a picture of his relationship with his churches. So folks, no wonder we're under attack. So it takes having biblical priorities in the home, and the first priority obviously ought to be God. So if he's not first in your life, sir, your home's going to have problems. In fact, if he's not first in the wife's life, you're going to have problems, and it trickles on down even to the children, but your spouse should be second. So if we were honest before the Lord this morning, we ask ourselves, okay, self, is God first? Well, of course, we're today, and it's in church, and we want to sound good, so we can go check. Yep, he's first. Yep, we got that one. And then if we ask, okay, is your spouse truly second? Now, it's a little harder because they're sitting next to us. And if we say, oh, yeah, they might say, oh, no. Anyway, we'll go on. We got all week to play with this. Down through time, our enemy has tried to destroy the home, and one of his most effective tools, I believe, attacking the men's leadership in the home, is a change of public opinion about that and about the man and about the home. He has used the TV and the media way back when. I'm unattached. I'm not even sure what's out there today, but you've heard of the cartoon Simpsons, or way back a long time ago, the one called Married with Children. I mean, there is so many. I can't even keep them up or name them all or even want to. But it shows the man as an idiot. And it promotes a matriarchal society. And that's 180 degrees opposite of what God teaches. This is to be a patriarchal society, folks. And when our enemy succeeds, then in the home, you've heard the saying probably, boy, you can tell who wears the pants in that home. Well, it's because the leadership has shifted there, and then that's kind of bled over into our society, And then there's some churches that have female pastors, and you know that's against the Word of God. And folks, we're not careful. One of these days, we'll wind up with a female president. And I'm not trying to be chauvinistic here. I'm just showing you that the tearing at the very foundation of our society against the home and God's biblical leadership for the man in that home. But I believe full-hearted that Satan fears when a godly man that's filled with the Spirit leads his home for the glory of God. And there's some great examples of that in the Word of God. Abraham, we have testimony. We heard of Moses was faithful in all his house. Joshua, Noah. Boy, Noah is a good encouragement to me because in his day, the whole world was wicked. Their thoughts were evil continually, only evil continually. So if he could lead a home to be righteous in the midst of that mess, then surely we can today as well. So rather than it being all negative and beating us down, there's actually hope, folks, in the midst of our day. Let your home be a shining beacon of the grace of God, how it's supposed to be, and allow him to build our homes and our relationships and let those be a light to help folks around us. There might be a jeering and sneering, and there might be all kinds of critical negativism, but I tell you, at the end of the day, those people want to have a good home. They just don't know how. They're looking in the wrong places. So I ask you this morning, what kind of leader are you, sir? You are a leader. We're going to look this morning at three bulletproof principles in the admonitions of God's holy word. Folks, it's always about Christ. And I don't have any, so any of you military men might. If you have any spent casings of like an M60 or an M50 or something, I would love to use that for this illustration. I could set them up here one by one as we talk about them. Amen. Anyway, just throwing it out there. Got to keep it real. Amen. So here's number one. Here's bulletproof number one. Christ-given leadership. Back to our text, please, in verse number 23 in Ephesians 5. The Bible very plainly says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Folks, you notice here, he says the husband is the head. He doesn't have to be a good husband to be the head. He doesn't have to earn it. It's not a merit. It's a position given from God. It's a God-given, it's a Christ-given leadership. The husband is the head. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, the Bible says, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. He's our leader. And the head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. You are the leader. Let me encourage you to lead. You don't have to try to be the leader. You are the leader. The question is, what kind of leader are you? Secondly, our second bulletproof admonition here is Christ the leader. Number one was Christ-given headship. Number two is Christ the leader. Because I believe to be a good leader, one must first learn to be a good follower. Absolutely. So we follow Christ's heart for the home. If we go a little higher in our text here, we actually look at verse 1 in chapter 5, right here in context, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Folks, as we grow closer to God, we grow closer to one another. So here comes the part. Here's our baseline for the week, okay? Let's be honest. I'm not trying to start a fight. But let's be honest. Ask yourself, ask the Lord to show you, ask your spouse, not right now, but ask when we're done, where is our marriage? If one is, y'all need help because this thing's about to go in the tank, okay? Maybe it already is in the tank. Maybe you've already begun to give up thinking it's hopeless. That's number one. Number 10 is, man, it's sweet. It's like heaven on earth. I got that out of Deuteronomy, by the way. Didn't make that up. As the days of heaven on earth, amen? That's how the Lord wants our home. Okay? So somewhere between and yoo-hoo, where are you? Pick a number and let's let's ask the Lord to move us to the next one. Notice I didn't say move us to 10, because it's a process. Then we have unrealistic expectation, and then it winds up discouraging more than helping. But if you're running about a 3.5 right now and you hit a 4 by Friday, we're headed the right direction, folks. There is hope. You see what I mean? If you're running about a 5.25 and you make it to 6.75, oh man, you're doing good. See why do you use fractions? Because they're fun. In verse 21, this is how this is done, folks. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A parallel verse in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Man, if you want your wife to follow you, then you follow Christ and make it easier on you. If you're not following Christ, who wants to follow you? I mean, if you're honest and look at the man in the mirror and say, hey, would you follow you? And you're like, huh, no. Well, then don't expect her. I mean, we can get into that later, but don't expect her. Make it easy on her, okay? You follow the Lord so she can follow you. Here we are in verse 2, back up the page here a little bit. And it says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Folks, we need to keep our marriages pure. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Folks, God will judge. That's the same word shall as in whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's going to happen. Likewise, God will judge the whoremongers and the adulterers. Keep your homes pure. Back to our text in verse 4. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, words are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Biblical leadership in the home, then, according to our text, is A, you have to be saved. If you're going to follow God as a child of God, you got to be saved. If you're not born again, you're not a child of God. By the way, it's not just for dad. Moms need to be born again as well. And so do the children. If you're here, if you've never been born again, I'd encourage you to get saved, to repent of your sin and call on Christ to save you. And hallelujah, he promised he'd save you. Amen. I didn't ask if you sang in the choir whenever they have one. I didn't ask if you rode the bus or ever how you do that. I asked, have you been born again? Doesn't matter if you've been baptized or a church member or take the Lord's table. Those are important in the lines of obedience, but they don't get you to heaven. Folks, only Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. If you're here today without him, I'd encourage you to get saved. And especially the men, lead your family. Of all things, if you're going to lead them into salvation. Show your wife to make sure she's going to heaven. Raise your children that they might know how they can go to heaven. Amen. So saved and follow God as a dear child. Secondly, we walk in love. Having a heart for the home. Some men's hearts are anywhere but home. Verse 2, you know, and in a sacrificial giving of oneself like Christ did. He said he gave himself. A godly leader is moral, according to verses 3 and 4. That includes his eyes. That includes his heart. It's clean from sexual sin. What are you looking at? Where are you going on the internet? You got to keep yourself pure, folks. He's content, verse 3. That means he's not covetous. He's not filled with lust and greed for money and toys. And I'm not saying having money or toys is wrong, but when they become your small g gods with an S, that's a problem. Well, amen. He's to have godly speech in verse 4. So he doesn't run around cussing. Doesn't have a smut mouth or sewer mouth or what we used to call a potty mouth. Amen. He doesn't have that. And while we're on the subject, that includes Christian cussing. You say, what is Christian cussing? That's where you take the world's cuss words and you Christianize them and you say the same thing, but it's different because it's a slang and not the same word. But it's the same thing. Amen. Has no place in the mouth of a man of God. Has no place in the home that the Lord wants to use for his glory. He's not deceived. He has discernment. He has the fear of God. Verse 6. He does not want the wrath of God on him or his family. He lives separated. Verse 7. At home, at work, at play. He lives a life of separation from the world, the flesh, the devil. He doesn't partake with them. So he's not only saved, he walks in love, and he also walks in light. We're just looking right in the scripture. Look at verse 8 in our text. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You're lost in darkness, you get saved, you're a child of light now. Walk like that. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When it says approve, folks, it's a testing. Every home needs to have good godly standards. I say godly standards. Then there's some room for dad's preferences as well, because he's the dad. When the kids grow up and they're in their own home, they can have their own preferences. But this is my house, this is the preference for this house, amen? And God already lays out a bunch of details. But how you test what's allowed in your home is the Word of God. We see that in verse 10. It's the Word of God is the standard to test it by. Not public opinion, not what your friend's doing, not what the culture says. You lay it against the scripture. What does God say? You find that's way different than what the culture allows. What the culture says is okay. In fact, those very things that the culture's allowing in your home are destroying the homes fast, folks. Keep the Word of God the standard. And if it doesn't pass the test, then he takes a stand against it. He's not passive about this. He not only doesn't have fellowship with them, he reproves them. That's in verse 11. Take a stand. You can't be neutral. You can't afford to be neutral. Your children's lives are at stake here. You're going to have to say, thus saith the Lord. And because of that, here are some principles in the area that maybe the Word of God isn't clear on. But we live from these principles, these godly principles. They are the dictates of this home, and God intended for them to keep our home safe. You're to be the lover. You're to be the protector. You're to be the provider. This is part of the protection. So he walks in love, he walks in light, and he also walks circumspectly. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. According to verse 15, folks, men, we're to walk circumspectly, to walk with wisdom. Circumspectly, circum, a circle, speckly, yes, specs. You're alert, what's going on around you. You're careful with that. There's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs that help you protect your home. Some things are allowed, some things are not allowed. Just trying to get some practical help here this morning. We're wise about it, not foolish. You redeem the time. You buy up or buy back the opportunities. Folks, be careful of time wasters. Hey, while we're on time wasters, I know that not all social media is sin, okay? But boy, if there isn't a time waster today, that certainly could be one of them. Because if you follow 418 people and you read all their posts every day and you found out this one went to Walmart and this one went to CVS and everybody had masks on but two people here. I mean, you read all this stuff. 3 hours later, what'd you get done? See where I'm going here? And then if I were to ask, okay, how much time did you read the Word? Well, I read my chapter. Oh, good. Well, I read my Call to Glory. Well, that's good too. How many's been saved longer than 3 years? Longer than 5 years? 10 years? Amen. 20 plus? Okay, well, I like Call to Glory. But for those that's been saved for a while, honestly, that's just a snack. Yeah, I like snacks. But that can't be my diet. I got to get into the Word of God. I've been saved now 40 years. And folks, quite frankly, many times, even a chapter a day is not enough. Because if you're like me, as a man, the devil battles my thoughts. If I'm going to keep a hold of my thoughts where they belong, I need the Word of God constantly washing my mind. In other words, brother, I don't have to have any help to think wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that kind of comes natural. Part of the flesh, apparently. Amen. What I need help with is keeping my mind where it belongs. That only happens from that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't get in such a routine where your devotions become a check mark and you never meet with God. Man, we need to make sure that our spirit is right with the Lord. We're redeeming that time. We know what the Lord's will is, and then we get after it. Filled with the Spirit, because there's no way on the planet that we can do this without Him, verse 18. And by the way, being filled with the Spirit isn't some kind of El Zapo, and now you're filled with the Spirit. It doesn't happen like that. Being filled... Never heard the El Zapo part? That's in the Greek in there if you look real close. How it happens is a daily yielding to the Lord. It's not even a bad idea to every once in a while just pray, Lord, fill my mind that I think your thoughts. Fill my heart that I love what you love and hate what you hate. Fill my eyes that I see what you want me to see. Fill my ears that I hear what you want me to hear. Fill my mouth that I speak with the kindness of Christ, that I speak with the love of Christ, that my speech would be acceptable in your sight. Even David prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. These are legitimate prayers. Lord, let my hands do what it is you've created them to do. Let me be what you intended me to be. Let my feet take me where you want to go. You said you'd direct my past. Lord, I yield to that. Take me where you want me to go and let my mouth be a witness for you. I mean, you can pray like that. You can, and it helps you. It helps me. It doesn't just happen automatically. No El Zappos. But there's that dependency on the Spirit of God to help us. And then there's the music issue in verse 19. Oh, we need to have godly music in our lives. Dad, please set the example here. What do you listen to? What do you allow in your home? We have rules in our home, especially with entertainment and music. There's a whole lot of stuff not allowed. Why? We might have to put up with it at a restaurant or somewhere. We might be out just in the world, but it doesn't have to be in my living room. The home can be a safe haven. It can be a place where we can go and take our shoes off and relax and not have to worry about the enemy at every hand. But if you invite the enemy into your living room, now you're battling at home too. be careful here. And verse 20 is dealing with the gratefulness. Grateful for all things. Grateful for your wife. I'm very grateful for my wife. She does lots of things, including match my ties. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Thank the Lord for a godly wife. Why is this important? We'll deal with some more with the wife later in the week. But boy, you know, you can't be grateful for your wife and bitter at her at the same time. In fact, even the Lord said, "Be not bitter at your wives." So he knows that men have a problem with that. We want to blame her for our fault. And then when it is our fault, we're pretty mastered at turning around where it's still her fault. Well, that's not godly. That gives room for bitterness, not get rid of bitterness. So that helps when we're in verse 21 dealing with humility. Pride destroys more than, has destroyed more than one home along the way. And here's the thing, men. That pride, I know this hurts your ego, but I got to tell you this, okay? I know a lot of men are a legend in their own mind, but the reality is you're a sinner and you're not perfect. And I didn't ask the wife to raise her hand there. I'm just saying you're not perfect, okay? So when you act perfect in your pride, you're just hurting the home more. Sometimes we've had to have, okay, many times, family meetings where we sit down and I say, as dad, okay, I've asked the Lord to forgive me for this, and I've talked to your mom, and I got things right with her, but I wanted you kids to know that I was wrong as well. And in front of them, ask them for forgiveness. Folks, that's hard to do. Because to do that, you have to admit your... You have to admit you're wrong. I'm surely not the only one that struggles there. But not only God resists your pride, so does your family. It causes damage. So if we're going to lead our homes, there needs to be that humility there. Number one was Christ-given headship. Number two is Christ the leader. Now for number three, Christ the example. See, it's all about Christ in our home. We're to lead by example. A Christ-likeness. Been saved 40 years, had the privilege of pastoring for 21. I've done a few counseling along the way, okay? And I just said that to kind of give a quick background here. But sometimes I hear things like, preacher, I didn't have a dad like that. I never had an example. Well, my heart goes out to you because I don't enjoy hearing any testimony of a young person growing up in either the absence of a dad or a dad that was a jerk. Okay, I don't enjoy that at all. But you can't use that for an excuse. So what's wrong with you? Well, my dad slapped me when I was 3 and I never got over it. How old are you now? 33. Grow up! Get the idea? You got to get past some of these things. And by the way, if you're saved, you do have an example. You have the Heavenly Father. And He is a perfect Father. And from Him we can learn. Amen. You can't have a better example than Jesus Christ. If we're filled with the Spirit, then you're going to have that fruit of the Spirit in our life. And the Bible tells us what that is in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you have patience? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Here's the acid test. Folks, this is hard. Because man is wired with pride. And we want to think we have it all together. And especially those that have the alpha male dominant kind of personality, not to get in a bunch of that. But most of your policemen and military men, that's kind of how we think, you know. We take charge, and man, we're the man. We ought to have a Christ-like spirit about us. And sometimes that's challenging because our pride gets in the way. So in other words, we're to have a Christ-like spirit when we've had a good day. Yeah, that's easy, because we've had a good day. But we're to have a Christ-like spirit in our home when we have a bad day. How many times have I had to ask my wife to forgive me because I took my bad day out on her and it wasn't even her fault? Why? Because I'm an idiot. Because I'm not perfect. So don't paint me as some superhero or super dad, because I'm not. I'm a dad who loves the Lord, and he's given me a rule book, and I tried, but I failed, but I'm glad I have a forgiving family. But I have the Holy Spirit to help us in these things. When our day's full of stress, oh, it's easy to get short and snappy with those we love the most. But Jesus is kind. He's not rude. He's forgiving. He's patient. Isn't that how he treats his churches? And didn't he tell us to love our wives like he loves his churches? So how would Jesus respond? What is his heart on the matter? Just a reminder, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's this kind of love that gives selfishly. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it, or nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Boy, if there's a true verse in the Bible, that's that one. Because men do nourish their own body. Oh, we do. Yeah, we like to pamper ourselves. Amen. And cherish it. You know, to nourish means to feed, to take care of, provide for. A lot of men have the protection part down. We would take a bullet for our wife. I'm confident every man in here, you're man enough. Most of you, well, anyway, we're online, so I'd be careful. Okay, we would protect our wives, okay? Or die trying, okay? But what happens if she's not feeling well and it's 2 in the morning and she needs some Gatorade or some milk and the store's open up here? It's like, can't you wait till morning? Where's that sacrifice? Is this making sense? Y'all look at me funny. Did I shave? I shaved this morning. And to cherish with tenderness and affection, to give warmth, to hold as dear. How many remember the day you got married? Well, I remember that day. That was great. When we got married, later the pictures came back, you know. I'm like, told my wife, hey, look, we had people there. Where'd they come from? Because you're so focused, especially the groom. I mean, he's like, and then the reception lasted forever, on and on. And it's like, man, we've got to go, you know. You understand? You remember that kind of when you'd open the door for her, and when it's cold out, you help her on with the coat. Yeah, amen. So how many's been married 5 years or less? Five or less? Five or more? Anybody just getting married? Our daughter, back here. How long y'all been married? Woo, yep, they're the ones I'm talking about. And just like our daughter was married in October, oh my goodness, they are sickening sweet with each other. Remember those days? Is that where y'all still are? Usually, 6 months before marriage and 6 months after marriage, they're not worth shooting because they're not even on the same planet with the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? And it's sweet and it's kind and I think it's great. But don't forget to open a door after you've been married 20 years.
Amen.
Because she's still your wife.
Right.
She still deserves you to honor her and nourish her and cherish her. Yeah. Amen. And I'll just tell myself, okay? My wife likes it when I do family conferences because I remember these things. It helps me stay focused. So she's like, you need to do about 12 of those a year, okay? Hey, folks, it's just being focused where we need to be focused.
Amen.
Having a heart for the home. People think, wow, I've been locked up for 6 weeks together. Well, that should have been a sweet time. Not an attitude of open your own door, woman. We need this week, don't we? So my thought here is, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reference her husband. We'll talk more about that later. I'm asking you, sir, what kind of leader are you? You are a leader. Nobody enjoys a tyrant. And nobody has respect for a weenie. And contrary to popular belief, a godly wife wants you to lead. But she wants you to lead in kindness. Amen? So like preacher mentioned this morning, we all can tune up here a little bit. Might be some things we need to get set right. Might as well do it this morning so we have an enjoyable week. You wait till Friday, you're going to be miserable. So let's just get it taken care of here this morning. And if you never got it settled about being saved, I encourage you, why don't you just get saved this morning?
Amen.
That'd be the best thing.
Amen.
Then you can have the Holy Spirit's help to lead your home like Christ wants you to lead it.
Right.
I know this church understands male leadership, but there's a biblical leadership that tempers that. What kind of leader are we this morning? Let's ask the Lord for help this week. Take our 3.5, move it on up to a 4, maybe a 5. And we have an awesome week, might even hit a 6. Well, we can keep shooting for the 10, but honestly, that's not where I'm headed this week. I just want to see us start to head the right direction. Because those that's been married 10, 20 years, like I seen the hands a while ago, wherever you're at in your marriage right now, it's caused this thing to go down here, over here, closer to this side. You didn't get there overnight. It's not going to be fixed in this morning with one of those El Zapo deals, okay? It's going to take some humility, getting it right, and asking God and begin to work toward that direction to get it back over here like these 3-month newlyweds back here. Now, well, I seen them back there smiling. I thought they were just enjoying the service, but they don't even know I'm here this morning, you know? So we might have a little ways to go with this, but at least we can head the right direction. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Congratulations, by the way.
Amen.
All right. Well, I believe the Lord has what he's wanted here to look at this passage to challenge us men. Where is our leadership? What kind of leader are we? Let's all stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.